Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. We're on Twitter at KUOW. I'm glad you've tuned in today. You know, it's been almost 2 years since the city of Seattle declared a state of emergency on homelessness, and still the number of homeless people in the city has kept rising. My next guest has an idea. City Council member Mike O'Brien wants to pay for homelessness programs with a new head tax on Seattle businesses. It would be a yearly $100 tax on every employee working at big revenue businesses like Amazon and Starbucks. Councilmember O'Brien, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Why a head tax on big businesses?
Well, the reason why we need any revenue source is because we're in this housing and homelessness crisis. And as you mentioned, we're 2 years into this state of emergency around homelessness. And yet, despite some good investments and some good work being done, every year we find that the problem is actually worse than it was when we declared the state of emergency. That demands that we do something significant to reduce the crisis that we're in. And I think something of the magnitude of $25 million a year split between investments in affordable housing and homeless outreach and shelter opportunities for folks living on the street is about what it's going to take to not solve the problem, but at least start reducing the problem we're seeing. And we don't have a lot of great tools for raising revenue in the city. The state limits what we can do. And so trying to find a tax that is fair. And when I say fair, what I'm looking at is in the last 5 or 6 years, we've generated a lot of wealth in the city. And that's great. That's something to be proud of. And I'd be really proud of it, except for the fact that at the same time, we're also creating a lot more poverty.
Doesn't that growth bring in revenues by itself and sales tax and real estate excise taxes? And is it not paying for itself?
It's doing some, but it's not covering it all.
Okay.
And part of the problem is, you know, we have lagging stuff we're working on. You know, to bring our transportation infrastructure up to this new level of employment and growth is, you know, a 10, 20 years of investments that we have to do that we haven't done for the last two decades. And when it comes to homelessness, you know, one of the factors of this growth that's happening in, you know, companies like Amazon who are bringing in high-wage workers to our community, which is a good thing, but it's driving the cost of housing up. And despite our building thousands and thousands of new units of housing every year, we cannot keep up.
Okay. I want to talk about how you would spend this money in a moment. First of all, Seattle mayoral candidate Carrie Moon has this problem with the head tax idea. She says she agrees with you. Big businesses like Amazon should pay more.
So I believe in what it is trying to fund. I don't think they did the math right yet on how to charge the tax. I think it needs to be just on the 10% biggest businesses in our city. And, you know, for $5 million, if you are a business like a grocery store or a retail shop that does fairly high sales volume with a very low profit margin, you would get caught up in that $5 million threshold. So I think we need to change the math so it's just larger businesses above a certain size. So maybe of employees above a certain size.
One of the Seattle businesses echoing that concern is Bartell Drugs. George Bartell says, quote, millions might not be much for Amazon and Starbucks or the city. It's definitely a big deal for us. And with a head tax and our warehouse and headquarters both located in the city, we will face costs our competitors won't. So Councilmember O'Brien, are you targeting businesses that you really don't want to target?
Well, we're trying to be as delicate as possible in how we target this. You know, state law doesn't give us an unlimited amount of tools, and it's probably not a bad thing. We don't get to say that business and that business, but not this one.
Well, Carrie Moon is saying big employer businesses, not just by revenue, because you could make a lot of money but have a low profit margin.
We could do it that way, too. So one of the issues, you know, that George Bartell brought up, you know, Amazon, we think, would probably pay about $4 million in this. Bartels does not have 40,000 employees in the city of Seattle. So George Bartell would be talking about probably, I don't know their employment level in the city, but I'm guessing more like tens of thousands of dollars, not millions of dollars. And I look at Bartels. It's a great business. It's so exciting to see, you know, in so many new neighborhoods as new construction is happening that Bartels is going as an anchor tenant. But Bartels is growing and benefiting from the growth that's happening in the city. Their competitors are out-of-state competitors. It's great to see Bartels thrive, but someone like CVS or Walgreens are in states where they have an income tax of 5 or 6%. You know, George doesn't have that here. So, you know, if we want to look at equity across the tax system, I think most of us would agree that Washington State has the most unfair tax system, and we're trying to make it a little more fair.
Well, Bartell Drugs is one of many businesses complaining they've reached a breaking point on city-imposed costs like secure scheduling, $15 minimum wage, paid sick leave, etc. How would you know when you've gone too far charging Seattle businesses?
You know, Bill, when I look around the city and see what's going on, one of my roles, at least that I think of as council member, is figure out who should I be out there fighting for. I want a thriving business economy, absolutely. And I'm proud that we have some of these home-based businesses that are doing really well. That's outstanding. And I don't want to punish them in any way for their success. But I look at folks that are struggling, you know, the retired couple on a fixed income whose property taxes keep going up and they're struggling to stay in their housing. You know, the single mom who's trying to buy that winter parka for her school-age kid and is paying higher and higher sales tax on that. And I think I need to find a fair way to fund this crisis we're in. We need more affordable housing. We need more emergency shelter services. And I think there's a bunch of businesses that have made a lot of wealth in the last few years, and I think it's fair to ask them to pay a little bit. The head tax would be 5 cents per hour. So on someone paying minimum wage, that is less than a third of a percent of the labor cost. And for someone who's making more than minimum wage, it's even a smaller percentage. This is not going to dramatically change the balance sheet of some of these companies.
Okay, let's talk about how businesses might react. This big business head tax idea comes right as the city is fretting about being too hard on Amazon, and Amazon's looking for another headquarters. Would a head tax help send Amazon into the arms of another city?
I don't believe so. What makes Seattle a thriving business environment is not that we have the cheapest real estate in the world. It's not that we have the most business-friendly regulations. The reason that businesses choose to live here and the ones that do come here thrive is because we have an environment where the types of workers they need to make their business successful want to live. It's a diverse city. It's got a lot of culture activity going on. It's environmentally beautiful, and we spend money to preserve that. And it's a place, frankly, that people think of as being equitable, not where there's mansions and yachts and thousands of people.
But an Amazon employee who says, you know, I only want to go work for Amazon in a city that has income equity. Is that really how they a company attracts workers?
I think when someone looks at a city like Seattle, they want to be here in part because of what they see on the ground and in part because they want to be in a city that feels fair. And I do, you know, we hear a lot from high-tech workers that say, we love being in Seattle. I know, you know, these folks come and testify all the time. I'm one of those Amazon workers. I'm making good money. I should pay a little more to make this city fair. It's not fair that the older lady down the street is property taxes going up while I'm kicking her out of the community because I'm pricing her out.
Okay, you hear that.
What Amazon wants, what any business wants, they don't want us to be, we don't want to be the cheapest city. We want to be the best city.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean the cheapest.
As for how you would spend the head tax money, you want almost $2 million to help people live in their RVs and cars, is that right?
If so,
is that on residential streets or group lots in industrial areas?
What? So the city right now does not have a strategy around people living in their vehicles. And we think about 40% of our unsheltered population is living in vehicles. So we need a strategy. That's something that I had been pushing the previous mayor to come up with. He tried a couple things that didn't work very well. I think it was an okay attempt, but you don't give up when it fails.
Well, for example, they opened some safe lots that turned out to be massively more expensive than they thought for RVs, and they shut down the Ballard and Interbay sites. Are you talking about trying that again or what?
We need a different model than that. I think one of the things we need to do with people living in vehicles is give some of them places off the streets to be, whether that's city-owned property or something we rent. What we did wrong, I think, with that model is we had 24-hour security that we were paying to be on site. We probably need more of a self-managed model like we do with our sanctioned tent encampments. But we also need just a strategy of who is interacting with folks in vehicles. How do we get them connected to the services? How do we get them out of those vehicles? And they have unique challenges.
You mentioned the tent encampments and it should go to a self-managed model instead of a 24-hour security service. Are you saying that the typical tent encampment is as safe as you want it to be?
the sanctioned tent encampments, I think, are very safe.
Okay.
You know, they, you know, they're members of the community that live there, take turns doing jobs and picking up trash and making sure that the perimeter is safe.
And so when people are thinking about dangerous places, they're probably thinking about the unsanctioned tent areas that they can see pop up, or people being under the freeway.
Yeah, you look at
the jungle,
the sanctioned sites like the Nicholsville site in Ballard, and everyone, just about everyone in the community that I talked to today, even some that were upset at the beginning, feel like this is they're good neighbors.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me just say really quickly though, on the tax, it would raise, we think, about $24 million, and the proposal is about three quarters of that, about $18 million, would go towards permanent housing solutions. We need more affordable housing for folks at lower income levels to get into. And then about a quarter of it, about $6 million a year, would go to emergency shelter and outreach work. So part of that would be expanding the LEED program to North Seattle. That's a law enforcement diversion program that's been very successful in downtown Seattle, but we could expand that. And then the other $5 million or so would be for emergency shelter options, which could include things like safe vehicles lots, could be more sanctioned tent encampments. It could be more navigation centers or other types of 24-hour emergency shelter.
Are those vehicles in industrial areas, on residential, you know, right alongside homes, or what?
So right now, if you have an RV, an oversized vehicle, you can only park overnight in industrial areas.
Yeah, so this is not involving cars along the street. We hear about this, right?
Right.
Ballard and...
So there's no proposal to change where they can park.
Okay.
We just need to have a strategy that says these folks are living in a vehicle. Our laws are not particularly flexible to that, and kicking them out of the vehicle makes everyone's life worse. So let's have a strategy.
Okay. I'm talking with City Council member, Seattle City Council member Mike O'Brien, who also is interested in studying congestion pricing. You want the city to study the idea of tolling surface streets to make drivers pay for clogging our city at rush hour. Why is that a good idea for Seattle?
Well, so the thing that causes me the most concern is that in about a year and a half, the deep bore tunnel will be open to vehicular traffic, and WashDOT intends to toll that tunnel to help pay for that billion-dollar project. The tolls on that tunnel, the models show us, will divert tens of thousands of vehicles out of the tunnel onto city streets. And at rush hour, when our streets and I-5 are already at capacity, those tolls and the diversion it creates have the potential to create havoc with our downtown streets. We have been discussing this challenge with WashDOT for a while. We're anxious to get to a resolution of it, but we need to make sure that the traffic in downtown doesn't get so gridlocked, specifically for the buses that accommodate the vast majority of people that are commuting to downtown. If those are stuck in traffic, it'll be catastrophic. This study would look at who is currently driving to and from downtown, try to understand some of the demographics of them, try to understand, are these people that have good transit options and just aren't taking them? Are these people that don't have good transit options because of either the time of day or the type of work they're doing or where they live? So the actual study is really more demographic data about who's driving.
Okay.
And that will help inform how we react to WashDOT tolling of the tunnel.
Here is a concern about congestion pricing from this week's mayoral debate, candidate Carrie Moon.
Congestion pricing puts too much burden on low-income folks, especially folks who have to drive for work or folks who are not well served by transit because they're in a low-income neighborhood, they don't have political power, they don't have much voice, they don't have transit. We absolutely have to get the transit in place before we can consider something like congestion pricing.
Could you somehow means test congestion pricing, or is it just, hey, it's a user fee, you use it, you pay for it?
Well, so part of the study is to try to understand how big of a problem that is. I mean, let's be clear, driving and parking downtown today is not something that's affordable to most people. And so we absolutely, if we do a tolling scheme in Seattle at some point, and I should step back just to say, we are a long ways from doing anything like this. For the city to toll city streets would require us to go to a vote of the people of Seattle. Before the council would send something to the vote, we would want to feel pretty confident that we have a system that the public would support. I'm not even aware of a system that I support right now without more data. So we're talking about a long conversation. But we want to do some. If we do something, we want it to be equitable. And understanding who's currently driving downtown, who might be able to afford to pay tolls, who could switch to transit, and who can't, would allow us to design a system that is fair and equitable, as Carrie Moon mentioned.
As you're figuring this out, Councilmember O'Brien, here's a story. You know who tried congestion pricing? Stockholm, Sweden. And here is how it worked out. This is State Transportation Commission Director Mark Hallenbeck telling the story of Swedish congestion pricing.
Stockholm put a ring around the city, and you had to drive in, and they took all the money and put lots of transit service. And they said, we're going to do this as a 6-month test, and then you get to vote. And they did the test. Everybody inside Stockholm was happy. Everybody outside Stockholm who was driving in was pissed. They voted.
How about that?
They voted no. All the people in charge lost, right? They were out. Mm. The next group came in and said, well, how about this version? We're going to put this toll ring around and all the money that gets spent goes to the suburbs. And the people who lived inside Stockholm, who liked the traffic going away and the better bus service, voted yes. The people who got the money in the far suburbs voted yes.
Huh.
And the people who paid to drive into the city voted no. And the two groups who liked it outvoted the people who didn't like it.
So, Councilmember O'Brien, by that logic, this should be a King County or regional program to congestion price Seattle and then send that money to the suburbs.
Well, the message I take away from...
I don't think you're in the business of sending money to the suburbs.
The message I took away from that, and what we heard, what London did too, because they have a similar cordon pricing system, is it requires a massive investment in transit. You have to give people alternatives to get downtown that are reliable. And so if Seattle were to go down this path at some point, and again, that is likely years away, we would want to make sure that we have the transit in place so that the vast majority of folks that are currently driving have a good alternative. Nobody likes tolling. In fact, the only thing that I think people may like less than tolling is getting stuck in traffic. And so these two things are kind of at odds with each other, and we're going to try to figure it out.
And on congestion pricing and on your big business employee head tax, what's going to happen next? What should listeners, just very briefly, know? What stage is this at?
So the budget is in process right now, and the city council will continue to deliberate over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
They're still taking public comment?
Still taking public comment. Okay. There's a public hearing the first week in November. I think it's November 1st, but I'm not positive on that, in the evening.
Okay.
The head tax will be resolved one way or the other by the time we approve the final budget on November 20th.
Okay, this is okay.
And the budget includes a $200,000 item to study who's driving downtown.
Right.
I anticipate that will be part of the budget. That is not any sort of proxy on whether we're going to do congestion pricing again. That is years away.
But
what is going to happen is the state's going to be tolling that tunnel, and that's going to have an impact on downtown Seattle. That's coming.
City Councilmember Mike O'Brien just told you what he knows. Tell him what you think, and the rest of the council as well. This is Mike O'Brien, who's been talking with us on KUOW's The Record. Good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Record, KUOW Seattle. And coming up, if you feel like you're being priced out by these high-paid tech jobs, why don't you train yourself up and go get one of those tech jobs? We'll talk about whether there is joy in coding coming up.